One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed. From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. Now it's time for a Spotlight Star Wars with your host, Ken Knapsack.
Hello, Four Center friends. Welcome to a special edition of Spotlight Star Wars. Every now and then, I love just sitting down with a friend and fellow fan of this great saga and just kind of free-forming our way through a conversation about things they love, about Star Wars, feelings, questions, trepidations, and of course, joys. And right now, the conversation in Star Wars is definitely, and there's always a lot of conversations in Star Wars. Don't get me started about Star Wars Twitter. Just everyone calm down, try to enjoy this thing. And if you don't enjoy certain aspects of Star Wars, that's okay. Don't try to spoil my meal, though, if you only like your side of the meal. But that's a different conversation. I don't want to go down that route. But we are going to have an interview here with the great Wendy Lee. I worked with her at Collider for such a long time. A lot of you know her from her work over there or her own channel, the movie Couple Channel. And she is, without a doubt, one of the biggest Ahsoka Tano fans I know. And so with Ahsoka Tano in the headlines here in the Star Wars world and, quite frankly, beyond, which is part of what our conversation gets to, I really wanted to bring Wendy on to share her thoughts about what's going on and her joys and her what the character means to her as someone who has been a fan of the Ahsoka Tano character and has got to work with Ashley Eckstein actually on some of the Her Universe stuff. and beyond. So it was just valuable to me to sit down with Wendy Lee. So we're going to do that. Before we get to it, I do want to just let everyone know this is, I'll say, a Mandalorian spoiler heavy conversation. We're just going to assume if you've watched the show, you can get this interview and you not feel spoiled. If you haven't had a chance to yet, which is also part of the Star Wars conversation going on, it's actually beyond Star Wars. Let's let everyone watch the show. Yeah, you got to get the titles, thumbnails. Sometimes things got to be done. I understand that. And I don't spend a ton of time on social media as I used to, so I can avoid spoilers. But I also feel the need to watch Mandalorian when it drops at like 1 a.m. my time so that I can enjoy it unfettered by the opinions, analysis, and screenshots of others. But just want to warn everyone, make it clear, if you haven't seen Mandalorian this season or the most recent episode, we definitely discuss it in full detail. So, without further ado, let's sit down with Wendy Lee here on Force Center. All right, Spotlight Star Wars fans, I am very happy to have back on the show. She was on Force Center a while ago. I remember we sat down in a Collider office in a big echoey chamber and talked fashion and Star Wars and a lot more. She is a great passionate Star Wars fan. She is one half of the Movie Couple channel. She married into that one, right? Or he married into that? Everyone married into that one there. Please welcome Wendy Lee. Hey, Wendy.
Hey, Ken. How are you?
I am as good as one can be in troubled times in the galaxy. You?
Same. Just, you know, trying to ignore what is going on in the real world by submerging myself into nerd stuff.
Hey, that's, sometimes the real world finds the nerd stuff, but it's always nice to have the nerd stuff there when it inspires you and moves you. And I really wanted to bring you on Spotlight Star Wars today because ever since I've known you, there's one thing I've, many things I've known, but one thing I know about you, you love the character of Ahsoka Tano, perhaps more than anyone I know. And I love the character very much too. So that's saying something, but you love the character. You wear a lot of fashions. You've worked with Ashley Eckstein on her universe and fashion shows at Comic-Con and all those kind of things. It is not just, hey, this is a character I kind of like. You love this character. You've been moved by this character. And I felt a great time because Ahsoka is in the news, in the Star Wars news, to bring you on and talk about Ahsoka. So how does that work? That feel good?
Oh, I mean, it was, I remember, well, first of all, thank you for having me back. This is so much fun getting to chat Star Wars with you. Yeah. I remember the rumor of the casting and they were also going to bring Ahsoka into The Mandalorian. I thought, huh, can they pull this off right? And this was even before any news of the casting. Right. Naturally, my mind went to Ashley because she voices the character. She is an actor. She can perform. You can train anybody to do fight choreography and things like that, especially someone as dedicated as Ashley. Have you ever seen her do anything? She doesn't have it at all. She just goes in like 120%. So I had no doubt in my mind that it was going to be her. And then, of course, later we find out that it was rumored to be Rosario Dawson. And I had to really take a step back from and really separate that I love this character, Ahsoka Tano, and I love the voice actress, Ashley Eckstein. And because of, I didn't want to let any sort of, I didn't want to go into this episode of The Mandalorian with any sort of negative feelings about that I wished it was Ashley Eckstein playing Ahsoka Tano.
Right.
So I tried to look at the positive side of it prior to seeing the episode, and I kind of take a look at Rosario's work. Obviously, she's been working for a long time. She's been in many, many things, very talented. I looked at where Ahsoka would be in this time. She's like about maybe 40 to 50 years old or something like that.
Yeah, the timeline. Yeah. What, 12, 13 at the start of the Clone Wars where we meet her, but Star Wars math always, you know, I never have a calculator for it. So, but you're about right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I gave the range of 40 to 50. Yeah. Give more or less. And I kind of looked at, you know, Ahsoka's stature as she grew. From Padawan to like adult Jedi Tano, she is, you know, tall. She's got very distinct bone structure, all of those which Rosario has.
Right, right, right.
So I physically, I think she embodies the character fantastically. And right. The next thing I worried about was, you know, the sound of Ahsoka.
Yeah.
For 12 years, Ashley Eckstein gave us Ahsoka Tano. So from, you know, we've aged with her. So yeah. I knew that that was going to be a sticking point. So Ken, before I went into watching this episode, I actually, for like a week, I mentally prepared myself. Well, I'm like, you are not going to see Ashley and you're not going to hear Ashley, but you love Ahsoka and you love Star Wars. Just go in with an open mind and see how they do it before you judge.
Well, look, I want to focus on it a little bit because, you know, again, I am a fan. I've written about Ahsoka. I've studied the lessons that she's learned and what it means to me as a Star Wars fan. I really do love this character, but I think I was a little less affected by the casting than others. And that's why I want your perspective on it here, because it to know that, hey, you know, it was so important to you that you had to ramp up to it. And I respect that what you're saying is like, hey, this is what it is. We must be present now here in the Force. And I've got to work with what is, but I actually do have to make a conscious choice to work towards approaching with an open mind. As Star Wars fans, we're very passionate. We hold on to things we love, and sometimes characters change or evolve or are portrayed a little differently. And it does affect us. So I like what you had to do there. Was there any point where you were like, I'm going to the dark side?
I think right before the episode, the day before, so it was like Thanksgiving evening actually, and I kind of decided that I wasn't going to watch. Well, we also had some Thanksgiving plans with immediate family.
Sure.
Nowhere out of LA and all COVID safe and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But so I knew I wasn't going to be able to watch the episode. So I think that helped in the prep because I actually took myself off of social media. So I didn't get anything spoiled. Right. I didn't want to see a screenshot of her before I was ready for it. So I just kind of went back and thought of a lot of what Ahsoka stands for. And a lot of mostly more than anything else, what Ashley has brought to the character and, you know, having to have met Ashley, and she is probably one of the nicest people on the planet. She is very genuine. She's very generous. And the one thing that she does, which I find it very rare these days, is she listens to the viewers and she listens to her fans. So I remember kind of in prepping to watch this episode, her kind of going back saying, I think she put it on like an Instagram story or a post or something like that, is that everybody wanted her to comment on the casting of Rosario Dawson and that why it wasn't her. And what she said, and I think she did it with a lot of class, just as we know, and she is very classy. She said, I can't comment on something that I wasn't involved in.
Right.
You know, and I think that's a good way to kind of explain to the viewers who are like, where is my answer? Give me my answer right now. Why aren't you going to play Ahsoka Tano? And don't you speak for Lucasfilm? And it's like, no, she can only, exactly what she said, she can only comment as much as she is involved. And unfortunately, she was not involved in that decision. I don't know any of the details, honestly. I haven't talked to her about that. And if I did talk to her, I don't think that's something I would like bring up. You know,
I wouldn't expect you to share it if you did.
Correct. All accounts correct. But I can say we have not talked, and we definitely have not talked about it. And if I did talk to her, I would not talk about that.
Yeah.
I know in her heart she obviously would have wished that she played Ahsoka.
Sure.
You know, the plan was laid and the decision was made, and what can you do past that? You know, fight tooth and nail and get real ugly on social media, but that's just not her. That's never been her to do anything like that. I think she was heartbroken, of course. And again, I don't know this. I'm just kind of like putting myself in her shoes. And then I think she, you know, being Ashley Eckstein, probably found positivity in it somehow.
Yeah.
And she is now tweeting, you know, her support for Rosario Dawson. She, I think, in a tweet.
Yeah, tweet. Yeah, somewhere. Team Tano. Hashtag
Team Tano. Yeah. And that's classy. And that's Ashley. And that's why she is always going to be my Ahsoka, you know. She's always going to be my Ahsoka and never forgotten.
Oh, absolutely. We really second that here at Force Center. And look, I already had a positive view of her. I even said that in the Force Center Discord this week. Like, I just always had a positive view of her. I'm a big baseball fan, so I also have a huge man crush on a World Series MVP husband, David. I actually, you know, knew about him before her and the Eckstein family, right? Yeah. But I always had a positive view. Love what she's doing with her universe and the spirit behind it. But man, she is absolutely Jedi-like in how she's handling this, knowing that people are watching, turning to her, and knowing that anything she, I wouldn't think for even a second she didn't do anything, quote, wrong in handling this, but knowing that how she acts and how she responds to this will affect this character that everyone loves. And so to kind of embrace it, hashtag Team Tano, and welcoming Rosario Dawson in, and other things. I know there's some other stuff around Rosario that people are talking about with the lawsuit and all the stuff, but just focusing on the Ahsoka of it all. For Rosario, I saw her tweet as well to kind of work to understand that there was a bit of a bridge that needed to be built over that, maybe a little gap in fandom. I think Ashley's handled it so well. It's been, like I said, very Jedi-like, which would very much be like Ahsoka herself, you know?
Yeah, absolutely agree. And one of the things I wish, and again, I a lot of times I wish that, and maybe you too, you were a fly on the wall in one of these, you know, casting sessions and meetings and things like that. I would have loved to kind of, I wonder, because I don't think we'll ever know. I wonder if they ever considered Ashley, or they just went right to casting other actresses based on not talent, but physicality, likeness.
Sure.
I wonder about that. And I would hate to ever find out if the creators, essentially Dave Filoni, he never kind of brought Ashley in on that decision, just to kind of, I don't want to say soften the blow. That's not a great terminology, but for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I give the old college try. Like, I would, if I voiced a character for 12 years, and look, it happens. The unfortunate side effect is there are a lot of voice actors who are considered just that, whether they are or not. And that's, like I said, Ahsoka Tano is an animated character, but Ashley Eckstein is a real life performer as well. But, my pal Roger Craig Smith is the voice of Sonic. And when the movie came out, a lot of people tweeted him, "Well, are you going to do the voice?" And he's like, "No, there's no chance I'm going to do it. That's not how this business works." And that was an animated movie, let alone making a switch to live action, though. Crafting a live action Sonic might be a different problem. But it's just the realities of the business. And there's some, there may be some physicality stuff, like you said, that they had to consider. Maybe we'll get that story. But I don't know. I'm probably like you, though. It doesn't change it. Knowing the story, if we ever get it behind the scenes, doesn't change the fact that it's here now. And we got episode 13, chapter 13.
Whew.
Here. And I want to talk to you about that. So after this week of emotional preparation, Wendy, you finally sit down. Put on an Ahsoka Tano, her universe shirt or whatever your game day clothes are on. And you watch this episode. Take me through what you felt. I want your honest opinions and your thoughts on this very important character and what it meant to see her in live action.
It's so funny that you mentioned, like, if I put on my game day clothes, because I don't know if you watched our reaction video that's on the Movie Couple channel. I certainly did. I put on my Ahsoka Tano, this like warm up thing, a kind of like cosplay jacket. I got my Fulcrum lightsabers out. I put them on the couch, my little Ahsoka Tano stuffed dolls that I got from Galaxy's Edge. I put my little baby Yoda down. Grogu, I guess I can call it Grogu now. I feel like I won't use it for like until the end of the series, because it's still going to be Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
But I looked at the time and I was like, ooh, 46 juicy minutes. All right, here we go. And we pressed play. And, I was not expecting Ahsoka to be in the show as much as she was.
Same. Yeah.
That the fact that they showed her basically right off within the first 5 minutes, I was like, they're not going to show her this early. Well, famous last words, because they showed her right there and then. And I think all my worries and any sort of negative feelings I had melted away when I saw the dual lightsabers light up, they ignite, and my excitement for seeing this character come to life took over. And, you know, I looked at the costume immediately, and I love the way that they brought her in, that it was in combat, doing what she does best. We've seen it all through Rebels, and we've seen it all through Clone Wars. And this is something that I'm glad they didn't make us wait. Like, oh, last 15 minutes of the episode, you'll get Ahsoka, and it'll be very quick and rushed, and okay, and you'll never see her again. I'm glad it wasn't like that, because we all know Dave Filoni wrote and directed this episode, and Ahsoka is one of his favorite characters. So I imagine he wanted her debut to be as grand as possible for, you know, to show the fans that, like, if you haven't seen Clone Wars and Rebels, you should, because this character kicks ass.
Well, exactly. The intro was so well done. And without a doubt, I mean, you said one of Dave's favorite characters. I think we all could actually agree. Probably Dave's favorite character. This is the one.
Probably.
You know, other than just some, you know, wolf that he likes out there. Or maybe Trapper Wolf, the character he plays, is now his favorite. But, I mean, he, and I was like you, a lot of us, we were talking here in Force Center, like, hey, she probably shows up at the end and says something and waves and that's it. But no, this is an entire episode with her at the center of it, which I think was a great decision. And, you know, I absolutely love the episode. All things considered, I just was there for it. And that intro, you said it grand. If you haven't seen Ahsoka Tano, if it's a name you've only heard, or, you know, you're a Star Wars fan, not even a casual fan, which, by the way, casual fans, we need more casual fans to make Star Wars bigger and better. So if this is your entry point into Ahsoka Tano, what a first scene.
Yes.
You get to see stuff, Wendy, that you're like, oh, I am. This is a Jedi in action. And this is a Jedi being exactly what I would in the field of battle that I would think a Jedi would be. I love that intro.
Yeah, it was really fantastic. And, you know, she's asking questions, the same type of question that Ahsoka would ask, as if she was in Rebels, you know, she's on recon or something like that. And it really builds up to the really expansive world of Star Wars. You know, we went from this tiny little, almost like a buddy cop kind of a movie, you know, you know, of Mando and Baby Yoda, to now look at it. We have not only brought in Bo-Katan from Clone Wars, we brought in Ahsoka Tano. There's a major name drop, which I'm sure we'll get to in just a little bit.
Yep.
And now we're talking, you know, in the previous episodes, we're talking about M-Count and cloning, and that those creatures in those tubes or whatever, it's probably maybe Snoke, because the theme was playing in the background of it. So it just makes it, this show, it went from just kind of like its own contained little bubble to you really realize what a big part of it, the big part of, you know, a larger world.
Yeah, and by the way, I think it's Bob Snoke, his cousin. That's what do you think about that? That is a point of conversation that I'm hearing and having it with a lot of people. I love the small, intimate storytelling in Mando, but I also am very aware and want the bigger world to matter. I have those questions too. Like, this is going on. I keep saying, when the hell does the New Republic get wind of, you know, all the stuff, which is why the character of Captain Carson Teva I love so much, because he's going, there's something going on here. Love that guy. We've been talking about that on the Mando Report. Yeah, but how do you feel? It sounds like positive, so maybe I'm answering my own question here to you, but not just Ahsoka, but just like, all right, we are taking Mando out of the campfire with himself and the child, Grogu, and now it's going to maybe get bigger and bigger and better. You okay with that? You embracing that? Any trepidations, any concerns?
I am trying to embrace it. What I really liked about season one of Mandalorian is that it was contained, and that they didn't feel the need to necessarily give us, you know, a glimpse of Snoke or whatever it may be to link us to kind of let you know, hey, this is still Star Wars. We know it's Star Wars. So that's what I really liked about that, because it was contained. It was its own story, and it didn't feel that it needed to rely too much on, oh, the prequels did this, the sequels did this, the new Skywalker, you know, trilogy did this. Like, it didn't need to call out to that. Every now and again, in little tiny bits and pieces, such as Easter eggs, I am totally fine with. The more, especially with episode 5, which I have, you know, for the most part, very positive feelings about it. Some of the negative parts about it is that it felt like not a Mandalorian episode. It felt like it felt like an Ahsoka episode, which it makes sense if you kind of look at who wrote and directed it. But, you know, finding out what we found out in episode 4 with Kreef and Cara Dune, and what they discovered about what they were using Grogu for, that they were, you know, talking about the high blood counts with Bo-Katan's kind of hunt for the Darksaber and Moff Gideon. And all of this, for all of us viewers, we get it because we're seeing it, you know, obviously from knowing what we know from either reading the books or mm-hmm. watching the movies or watching the animated shows. But for Mando, he doesn't understand the significance of a Darksaber. He doesn't get, right. you know, that Ahsoka and Bo literally fought side by side, you know, in the Siege of the Mandalore. And it's getting a little frustrating for me in this episode towards the end, where I was like, why isn't he letting Ahsoka know about the message that he found about the M counts and what they were finding? Like, that I felt like was really important information for him to say. Maybe not so much about the Darksaber and Bo, because he doesn't understand it. And I think that Moff Gideon died because he blew up the ship.
Well, we up until last week he did. So even then he doesn't know the picture.
That's right. So, but he doesn't understand the significance of the Darksaber. So I can let that go. But the fact that he didn't explain to Ahsoka, the child, people were after him because of the M counts. This is what I found out. She would understand that. And I really wished that they had done that. And I just don't want, you know, we can talk about the big name drop in the episode about Thrawn. I just don't want the Mandalorian to become fan service and cameos. That's not what the show was originally about. And I hope that after a couple of these big mentions and reveals and cameos, that we can kind of slowly go back on track of his next task.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible to put the genie back in the bottle of that if you need mm-hmm. to. And I think you and I both trust with the creators behind it that they do know what they're doing. You mentioned something, but I got to say, it's hilarious. I love I hadn't really thought about that. That he's sitting around a campfire with Ahsoka talking about the child he now knows as Grogu, and he doesn't say, at least to our knowledge, because we're only there when the camera's there.
This is true.
By the way. There's some people doing some experiments on them, and I saw some test tubes. Is that related? Do you know what an M count is? I love that you brought that up. That is kind of funny. I'll have some headcanon now about why he did or did not say it, or maybe he said it another time. Cause that could very well have changed, Ahsoka's, character path forward. If she's got her own mission, she's searching for Thrawn, but all of a sudden she's like, wait a minute, what else is they're trying to clone Grogu? We'll see. Who knows? Maybe she'll come back and she'll find out. I don't know.
It's possible. Yeah,
you mentioned Thrawn, the big reveal. We'll see where that goes. Another show, another series, another time. But yeah, it seems like you got like a lot of folks, you have some understandable questions, as I do. You're just like, hey, I love what I've gotten so far. Let's see where it goes. And I trust it'll take it the right way. But, you know, you could teeter too much into the world of canon junkie references, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I want the show, it's called The Mandalorian for a reason, you know. So while I enjoy seeing all of these characters and names being mentioned and crossed over into the show, it's so great. It's a nice treat. I just don't want them to lose sight of that. And I don't, like you said, I trust in them, in both Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni and the team over there. And I trust that they're going to still give us a good story. I know that the Ahsoka Tano episode is very important to Dave Filoni. So he wanted to showcase her as much as possible. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. I ate it up like a kid in the candy store. Every fight scene, you know, and she looked really, really great. I had a little bit of an issue with her montrals. Just a little bit.
Yeah, that's going around, right? Too short, right? By animation designs in the past, right?
By animation designs, too short, especially given the timeline. I think somebody was saying that they should be as long as Shaak Ti's. I'm not sure if that's the case. And I do want to ask, oh my gosh, okay, I've been dying to ask you this. Do you remember in Rebels,
mm-hmm.
the scene where she finally meets up with Sabine and now we see Ahsoka in the white cloak?
Yeah.
Do you think that scene takes place after she has met with Mando?
Yeah, we were discussing this week on the Mandalorian report that I know that's going around. I think it's vague, and I think the Rebels ending, even in the days since we recorded this episode of the Mandalorian report where Joseph and I were talking about it, I think, and read into it more, I think it's even more vague in terms of what happened on Rebels than I thought. You know, I still take it as this would be before, and I, in my head canon right now, until I'm proven wrong, and I always love being wrong. I really do. But I think that maybe she's already gone out and already searched for Ezra, maybe even found Ezra, and maybe something happened. And something Thrawn got away or this or that with Thrawn, and it's a continued adventure. But it's also easy for me to go, well, you know, maybe it hasn't happened yet, and that's going to lead into a show, and Dave can just fudge that timeline on Rebels and pull a George Lucas and say, oh no, that was always 6 years after. it felt like a week after, which would be very George of him, which is what Dave always reminds us. He learned from him. So, I'm with you on that. What do you have a theory on that yourself?
Well, Dustin and I, when we watched the episode, because originally we thought that because it's animation and you don't know how much time has actually passed between that final scene and the scene before that, where we saw Ahsoka. So it would make sense that in this episode, she learns a little bit more about Thrawn, sets her off on her discovery, and then she picks up Sabine, in the white cloak and the staff. Because in this episode, if we want to like go kind of the costume route and kind of try to break down the costume, she's in gray, and which is kind of like, and I know you love Lord of the Rings, so it's kind of like Ahsoka the gray, Ahsoka the white, sure, sort of a deal. So I kind of feel like that scene would come after this discovery here. I don't know how much time would have passed between, that, but I feel like when we see her in the white would have been after this episode. And her mantras, I would have liked to see them just a little bit longer, but I believe because of all the stunt work, sure, and that headpiece can't have been too light, to do all the stuff that she was doing in it. I think I read somewhere too that they made it a little bit shorter for practicality and ease of movement for both Rosario Dawson and for the stunt performers alike. But I had less problems with the length of it, even though it was kind of nice to kind of theorize and think about how long it is in relation to time. But the wrinkling around where it sits kind of on her collarbone, clavicle area. The wrinkling of it, the more as the episode went on, the more it became noticeable for me. And that was kind of, usually when I watch The Mandalorian, I'm like 110% in. I'm like zoned in. I'm into the show. And it kept on taking me out of it, thinking like, oh, I wonder what material they made that out of, and what can they do in the future if they bring her back to kind of use different material to eliminate the wrinkles. And I was like, I don't want to be thinking about this when I'm watching The Mandalorian.
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, until, we'll see in the Disney galleries, and I know that with someone involved with the show was tweeting out some stuff. I know Matt Martin from the Story Group kind of retweeted it because they were getting a lot of questions about the Montreal's link. But yeah, I'm glad, to me, unless galleries proves otherwise, it was practical. And I liked that, even in a show shot on the volume and the state-of-the-art kind of techniques they're using versus something, this isn't, I'm not poking at MCU here, but a lot of the MCU stuff, it's like Iron Man's in a suit that ain't even real and it's generated and it doesn't take me out of the story, obviously, but it's like, true, I can't help but think about it. I was just watching Endgame on Thanksgiving with Grace and her sister and brother-in-law, and I love it. Great. The movie moves me like a lot of people, but the whole time I'm like Iron Man's not even wearing that.
And he's kind of wearing like those suits with the dots all over it.
Yeah. So the fact that, you could conceivably do that with Ahsoka's head, quite frankly, just the head. Rosario Dawson's in a VR suit, and then you add the stuff later. I liked that they took it practical, but it's a current concern. This is the stuff we Star Wars fans love to do, and I do want to ask you here, Wendy. So now, the Montreals aside, everything about what Rosario did, it is an older, more somber, more sad Ahsoka, maybe a more learned Ahsoka, life experiences. The shots, the looks, the movements, how did it work for you as an Ahsoka fan? Did you like what they put up?
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a T-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
They're on the screen.
Voice aside, most of it worked for me. Most of her physical movement really, really worked. You know, the costume that they put her in looked really great on her. It gave a lot of movement. So, you know, whenever the wind blew, she got the, I call it the Beyonce effect, which looked fantastic. The way that they used the lightsabers. Now, that's one of the things. Ahsoka was very, very agile in the animated series. And I feel like you're almost limitless in movement when it comes to animation, because you can draw as a Jedi, you can draw her in whatever shape form you want. We've seen Ahsoka do some badass stuff, you know, from like free diving in the air to land on a spacecraft and things like that. Obviously, this is practical, so we are limited. But the lightsaber duel between her and the magistrate, I thought it was an interesting choice that they let her disarm Ahsoka. I feel like Ahsoka, at this point, having fought Maul, having survived Order 66, would not have let Thrawn's apprentice disarm her like that, you know. So that I found that really interesting, and I don't know if they did it just to kind of give Ahsoka more of a, well, you can disarm me, but I'm still not gonna lose. And a lot of it kind of reminded me of when she fought Darth Maul in the final like four episodes when he also disarmed her, and she kind of did a not exactly the same but similar move where she took the weapon away from him.
So I
like that, but I would have loved to see, and this is just wishful thinking because I'm satisfied with the episode, that I wish we'd have seen a little bit more different dynamic in a lot of her lightsaber fights. Just more flourish is what I'm trying to say.
Flourish. We need some Ahsoka flourish.
Yeah. But the mannerisms, you know, some of the looks that she gave, especially after she sliced those space gongs in half.
I love that. Yeah.
And then she used the force to pull the rifle, and she hit the other guy in the face, and then she kind of turned around and gave that little like sideways smirk. That was very Ahsoka. Appreciated her putting that in there. I was like, okay, that I could see the animation Ahsoka doing that, so I'm glad that they put that little bit in there.
As I said, Amanda reported this, but I really think Dave shot it in a way that gave give Rosario a bit of a leg up, a little advantage to try to not just match. We don't want them her to just do some impersonation of Ahsoka. I think the essence was there, and I'm a big fan of Alden Ehrenreich as Solo, because I think he captured the essence of Harrison Ford, the performer, not just Solo, but even Indiana Jones and even Air Force One. And I think that works, and I don't need a beat for beat thing. And I think I got that, but you're someone who, you've studied the moves. I've seen you on Instagram stories, you know, you do some Ahsoka fight moves here. A couple of things here in the time I have you here, Wendy, rumors, nothing confirmed, obviously, and I don't know anything at this point, but whether it be another animated show, but now it would seem to be more realistic that a live action Ahsoka spinoff with Rosario Dawson or someone else, but live action Ahsoka. How do you feel about that? Is there any conflict on that now that you've seen Ahsoka in live action? Or are you ready for that?
I mean, I feel like, that's a loaded question there.
Well, is there part of you that's like, hey, cool, I'd still rather go back to animated?
I think the immediate knee-jerk reaction for me is, hey, I think, thanks, but I'd rather have the animated Ahsoka, whether you further the storyline of Rebels and give us Ahsoka with Ashley at the helm for voicing her, or we give, you know, get more untold stories from the Clone Wars, maybe perhaps right after Order 66 and where her and Rex have gone. I think I'm more invested in that more than the live action Ahsoka Tano with Rosario Dawson, if they were to do that, you know, and I don't also see them casting anyone else but Rosario at this point, because now it's established and I don't think they should recast unless they want to put Ashley in there. That would be my only other choice if they were to, you know, think about a different casting choice. But I honestly don't think if they were to move forward with live action Ahsoka that they would have anybody else other than Rosario, because then you're going to be, then people are going to, I feel like, get a little bit confused. I don't know. I have to think about it. I would have really rather Ahsoka's story play out in animation, to be completely honest. Not that I wouldn't watch live action.
Of course. So that's why I ask. I know, because you're such a fan, and I'm sure you might not be alone in that. Of like, hey, you know, thanks, but no thanks. Or I'll watch and I'll see and I'll follow it. It's complicated. It is. You know, even for me, it's smaller level, but I love the character of Cobb Vanth, and I was so thrilled for Cobb Vanth here. Love, and then they changed or went, you know, slightly different direction with the character's backstory and everything. I was all fine with that, and I loved him at the Oliphant, but I had some like, I don't know if this is working, because I have some high expectations for this character.
Right.
You take that in me and multiply it by 100 with you, and then you're a fan. So I get that there. What does it mean, though, to you? And then I want to get into Ahsoka, the character, and what the character means to you. But what does it mean for this character to make this leap into the spotlight? And as hard as it might seem to believe, there's probably many, many Star Wars fans, not just viewers, but fans who are seeing her for the first time. How does it make you feel to have this character you've loved since 2008 jump to live action, meaning she is now into the larger galaxy in terms of what fans view? They view live action first, movies, TV shows before the animated shows. It's just kind of the way it is outside of the hardcore bubble. What does that mean, though? That's a big leap, and that's important.
It is important, because I never thought that we'd ever see Ahsoka in live action in the flesh. You know, her costume, if you've seen any of the cosplayers, isn't easy to do. And then to, you know that she's a Jedi, so she'll have some, you know, stunt work done. I know it's not an easy task, and I think they handled it really, really well. I think for the first time, viewers who are meeting Ahsoka for the first time, this episode was definitely a treat, and this is definitely the way I would want them to see Ahsoka. If they only got it through The Mandalorian, then this is the way it should be done. I didn't want them, you know, to kind of see like a less badass version of Ahsoka than what we got, you know. And I hope for the people who met her for the first time, they'll fall in love with her just as much as I did. They'll base it off like, oh, she's so cool, I want to know more about her. And hopefully they'll go back into the Clone Wars, maybe not the Clone Wars movie, because hey, she wasn't great in that.
You got to experience it all. You got to go back to the snips of it all. You got to experience it.
Yeah. Oh, snips. You know, can I tell you, the first time I was so excited to see this Clone Wars movie, I was like, yeah, great. I'm going to go watch it. And I watched it. I was like, I hate her. Who is she? Anakin shouldn't have a, you know, just like, I remember just like yelling at in my car. I was like, this is the stupidest character. And then they brought her, you know, into Rebels. And I was just like, well, actually, wasn't it kind of reverse? They did a season of Clone Wars and then it was the movie. I can't remember.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all the release. Sort of, we're doing the chronological rewatch. It was just episodes that George wanted to pull out and make into a movie. So it is definitely weird. And that is her introduction. So it works in that regard. And yeah, that's the story of Ahsoka Tano, the character from one of the more loathed and hated characters, perhaps even more than Jar Jar at the time, grow way beyond that into something where, like me, I am not the demographic they were trying to reach. I mean, they're trying to reach Star Wars fans, to be clear, and that's something I believe. But in 2008, it's like, it's a character for another generation, and let's try to pull that generation in while other people are watching Obi-Wan and Anakin and the clones and all that kind of stuff. I'm not in their target demographic going back to 2008, and I just love this character because of the important question she asks, the answers we get, and the lessons and inspirations from the character. But that's me. What about you? From that point to where you are now, someone, again, just as a friend I know in this business, I associate Ahsoka Tano with you, and I always want to know what you feel about this character. But what does this character mean to you? When did it start to take hold of you from that movie to now?
I think for me, it was knowing that I still loved Star Wars, regardless how I felt about the character initially, and kind of was like, well, I'm still going to watch the show, and I don't care. Maybe she won't be in it for as long, because I had this whole stupid theory of Anakin as Darth Vader had never talked about having an apprentice.
Sure.
So I was like, oh, well, she'll like, they'll kill her off like season three or something like that.
Right,
no big deal. 12 years later, she's still kicking, you know.
Ahsoka lives.
Ahsoka lives. It's the best thing ever. And because she continued to exist, and because I continue to be a faithful viewer of the show, I grew with her, and I watched her be this kind of cocky little kid who definitely asked way too many questions in the beginning, but they were important questions, and kind of seeing her effect on not just Anakin, but Obi-Wan and the Jedi Order. Essentially, you know, we can go all the way to when she decided to leave the Jedi Order.
Right.
And for a little wee Padawan from the very beginning to where she is now, Ahsoka has gone through a lot. And to me, she means hope. She means strength, perseverance, and grace. She's all of that together. And I think she's a really, really important character, especially for the female fans of Star Wars. Like, we didn't really have a prominent Jedi character to kind of connect with. Like, yes, there's Padme. Yes, there's Leia. And Leia is so, so awesome. Right. But we at that point, we hadn't seen Leia, you know, wield a lightsaber and do all the cool Jedi stuff. And that's all I wanted. And, you know, we had like little bits here and there. But Ahsoka was it. She broke that wall. And that's, so I was like, I don't like her, but I'm going to watch her because, damn it, she's holding two lightsabers.
Yeah. It's like, all right, I'm almost have to. I'm going to figure this out.
Yeah.
And then it starts to take hold. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. No, that's great. And this is all the things she represents and how people of all ages, all generations can pull that from her. Ahsoka's a character I definitely look up to myself, and I know you do as well. And it's been a long 12 plus years, really. That is a character that's been with us longer than Han Solo was when I was watching Star Wars in 87.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, I hope, you know, for the viewers who met Ahsoka for the first time this week in The Mandalorian, I hope that they, you know, because of her bad assariness, they want to kind of research her a little bit more. And I hope that they dive into the Clone Wars, and I hope they dive into Rebels if they hadn't already, to, you know, really connect and just watch the story and the journey of this character and why she is so important to the Star Wars universe, and to learn that, you know, we welcome Rosario Dawson to Team Tano, but to know that Ashley Eckstein is the person who brought her to life, and she gave us, you know, fans 12 years of really awesome performances. And she, Ashley, I feel like embodies Ahsoka so much that, and that's why I look up to her so much. And so I hope that they learn that. And I hope they acknowledge that, to know that there are now two Ahsokas, and to not forget the origin of how it became. Yeah.
Who built the framework of the character for sure. Exactly. In closing here, and I want to give you a chance to let everyone know all the stuff you're doing, but I want one final question here, because you have done some work with Ashley, a lot of the Her Universe fashion shows, you know her, and she is so much. She is a businesswoman who looked out on the landscape and said, hey, here's something I can give to the fandom. This clothes and the idea behind it, and this brand and this lifestyle, and she's done so much. What's one thing you've learned from her, from Ashley Eckstein?
Oof, wow. A lot. So to say one thing is going to, let me think about this. To always find the positive in things, even when it seems your whole world is going dark.
Gotcha.
I have seen Ashley, some of these are a little too personal, like, of experience, so I won't share, just for privacy.
Sure.
But I've seen her in situations where I myself would have acted very differently, because I'm a bit of a hothead. And I like to retaliate, and I like to, you know, get in people's faces and say things. Because I'm not afraid of confrontation.
Sith Wendy Lee. I worked with you for years at Collider. I can see that. I can get that. But, it works for me. It's good. It's good.
Yeah. but a little bit of dark side coming out there. But with her, she's always just been really graceful, and she's always handled things in that exact way, with grace. And she always, no matter what kind of, like, a bad hand she's been dealt with, it seems like she always finds the positive in it somehow. And that is not easy to do. That is something that I continue to try to remember every single day when I come across certain situations, or I'm having a bad day, or, as we know, 2020 is pretty much a dumpster fire. So, you know, when I'm having, like, a moment, a bad moment, I kind of remind myself of that. And that's something I have learned from her. She is, like, people don't know how strong she is. Like, they look at her and they think, like, okay, like, you know, voiceover actress, actor, author, like, you know, she does geek fashion great. Like, no, people, I think, have no idea how strong she really, really is.
That's great. No, well said. Well said, Wendy. I appreciate that. I appreciate the honesty, the candor, and just the joy in your heart for this character and the person who, again, set the framework for a character that seems now to have even a bigger future than we could have thought in 2008. And one thing I'll say about Ashley, going back to that time, that's tough. We saw what Backlash did and the toll it took on Ahmed Best and Jake Lloyd. God, just so many things about that. The fandom can be rough, and maybe it's because it was animated. I don't know if it was any different, but it didn't feel any different. The intensity didn't feel any different. And she worked through that, persevered through that, and over and around it, to be just such an ambassador for Star Wars. So that's something I'll always appreciate and know as well.
Well said.
Wendy, we're almost done here, but I want everyone on Force Center and the family to know where to find you. You do a lot of cool things. Let them know.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. You can find me on the social medias, on Twitter and Instagram. It's just my name, at Wendy Lee Zaney. You can find me on YouTube at The Movie Couple, where my husband and I, we sit down, we live stream every Wednesday and Saturday, 2 p.m. PT. We talk about anything that's kind of, you know, popping in pop culture and movie news. We do movie reviews and reactions. In fact, we do a Mandalorian episode reaction and spoiler review on the channel. And it goes up as soon as I can get it edited. Sometimes it takes me hours. Sometimes it takes me an hour.
I feel that.
Yes. So yeah, all that good stuff. Also on Twitch, twitch.tv/WendyLeeZaney.
Check out Wendy, check out Dustin and all the work they do with the Movie Couple channel, my friends. Love talking Star Wars with you. We only got a brief moment to do it on Jedi Council before that all kind of wrapped up. So fun to do it here in Force Center. We'll do it again. Check out Wendy. For all of you listening here on Force Center, you can follow us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube as well. Shirts on TeePublic at teepublic.com/user/Force Center. You can support us directly on Patreon at patreon.com/Force Center. Or go try out an audiobook on us at audibletrial.com/Force Center. You can follow me at Ken Napzok. Go to my website, kennapzok.com, for information on all the things I do, including my book, Why We Love Star Wars, where I did absolutely write about a few great moments with Ahsoka Tano. She truly is one of my favorite characters. So for Wendy, for Ahsoka Tano, and all the adventures yet to come, this was Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.